Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is another episode of the Buddha Brothers Podcast. You got Kyle.
And Eric.
And I was EDC shopping today.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in the store looking for a pocket knife because we're always in the shop cutting boxes, doing
They're
our
useful.
Thing. And like, I need an EDC knife. And since Buddha Brothers does not have the perfect folder, I was looking for one. And I was in the shop and I found this sick $60 folder. And I'm like, how the hell can anybody make a knife and charge $60? Like, we did something like that. You know, the material cost is so high alone. But I was like, this is so freaking valuable. Like, you know, you're in the market for a knife. It's $60. You can't go wrong.
If it's good quality.
Yes. And it is so far, it's been awesome. Mm-hmm. But when you find something valuable, you almost return to that thing or that place because you know what mm-hmm. you're getting is worth the price of admission.
Yes. Value is a powerful force in the market. Entrepreneurs unlock value. They solve problems. They make things better. They make things faster. They reduce costs. They increase your revenue. They solve problems. They create value. That is what makes a business viable because you are creating value. You are able to create value for another entity, another person, an organization. You could be business to consumer, business to business, but you are creating value. That's the whole gambit of entrepreneurship. That's the whole game of entrepreneurship is creating value.
And how is value determined though? Is it by the masses? Is it by an individual? Like, how do you determine value?
Value is in the eye of the beholder, just like beauty.
But how?
Because something valuable to me, you don't care about.
So I'm going to throw out some things and you explain to me why they are more valuable than other things.
Okay.
Let's say Joe Rogan's 100th podcast to his 1,000th podcast.
Obviously.
But would they have been that much different in value? Like, he's still spitting the same thing. Like, why is Joe Rogan's podcast valued at what Spotify paid him right now?
Because of the reach, because of the traction. The value is the audience that he has created.
I guess the value is to Spotify because all the users get to listen to it for free.
Value.
So that's why they find it valuable.
They would pay, and that's when I started really following business trends and stuff. You look at these prices, you're like, Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion way back when they did. $1 billion was a lot of money. And it's like, holy, but now that was a steal.
Yeah.
That was a steal. When you look at the amount of value that it's been able to create, we have used Instagram as a valuable tool to create content for our business, to connect with our community.
Yes.
It's a valuable tool. It's a great way to connect.
Just like all the top businesses, Apple, like Microsoft, all these valuable tech companies. Okay, let's take something like Gucci. Why is it more valuable or perceived as higher value than H&M?
Because people value status. Gucci is selling status. They are selling the exclusivity of being the only person that can afford to buy a $7,000 belt or whatever it is. They're selling this feeling of not elite, but they're selling a status. They're selling status. There's no better way to put it.
Yeah. Don't you find that value is often disguised behind a few layers? Because if you looked at Joe Rogan's podcast, like, oh, that's valuable because of the information I'm getting, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's one piece, but the biggest value that he offers that he gets paid for is reaching so many people. So it's like behind the layer. He's giving out information for free, but big companies find value in that and they pay him big dollars for
that. To advertise, absolutely. And even just the commercials on his podcast.
Gucci is less about that this fabric is so good and like, you know, this and more about the status thing.
Yes.
So the value is often
in the, it's where I'm saying it's in the eye of the beholder.
Yes, and
I don't value Gucci. Yes. I think you're a moron for spending $7,000 on a belt.
And 8,000 on a t-shirt.
Right. Like, yeah. I'm sure those aren't those prices, but I bet it exists.
100%.
No.
There is definitely a Gucci shirt out there or a Gucci belt for $8,000. Okay.
I don't find that valuable. I personally do not, but there are some very high net worth individuals that see that as a steal, mm-hmm. and they want that status. They want that to look good, feel good. They can afford it. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they just got so much money they don't know what to do with that. An $8,000 belt doesn't mean anything. Okay, cool. Well, guess what? The person making the $8,000 belt, good job, because I know your costs are not more than a couple $100. You're killing it. Yeah. All right? You can command those kind of margins. You have to be creating an immense amount of value. And so if that's obviously valued at a very high, otherwise it wouldn't exist. People wouldn't value it. They wouldn't spend their dollars.
And the belt is not the value. The brand is the value.
Yes.
It's what it's saying, right? Now, if you are trying to create value, mm-hmm. how do you know if you're creating value for people though? Like mm-hmm. you do something.
Yeah.
Is it valuable? How do you know?
Yeah. It's all about serving unmet needs. Unmet needs. In order to create value, you have to serve a need that is not being met. Otherwise, no one cares. You know, if you are
supply and demand type thing.
Not really supply and demand. It's your question was, how do you know if you're creating value?
Yes.
If you are solving someone's problem, if you are making something worth more. If you are helping somebody reduce their costs in their business, that's value. Oh, that's a valuable service. Mm-hmm. If you are helping a business owner or anyone achieve their goals and you make it better, faster, cheaper, however you unlock value or your unique value proposition, which is unique to you, only I can offer you this based on my experience or whatever it is. That is an ability to solve someone's unmet need. And that's where one of the most valuable lessons that I learned in university was in my entrepreneurship minor. And the professor in this class called opportunity identification had everybody write a 3-week journal. And you had to come up with an idea a day to create value and start a business around a value proposition. So every single day, you had to come up with a new idea to create value and start a business, something that you could get traction on tomorrow, not like, I want to start an airline. Okay, well, that's massive. Well, I want to make a cupcake company that does yada yada. Mm-hmm. Something that you could get traction on if you wanted to. You're a student. You're a student. How can you as a student unlock value and create a business idea that you can test, validate to see, is this valuable? Did I solve someone's unmet need? Did I help them? Did I serve them? And the biggest trick that the professor gave us was, anytime you hear the word but, listen for the word but. Anytime you hear the word but, there's an unmet need. I love this, but it's not really quite right.
Right.
Yeah, it was great, but the but is the unmet need. There's something, it would have been fantastic and you would have had no complaints. You actually want to look for the complaints. Hmm. You want to look for the problems to solve. And that's where you need to hear somebody complain, somebody
criticize.
Sure, there's an unmet need there too. Yeah. But somebody is going to, if someone's complaining about something, there's a problem that if you as an entrepreneur can solve, you can unlock value by solving someone else's problem.
Now, what about the innovators like Henry Ford, where I guess he knew the people who provide value the best know about a person's problem in more detail than they even know about it. Henry Ford is a prime example. And there's a famous quote where it's like, if you would have asked people back in Henry Ford's day what they want, they would have said a faster horse.
Yep.
And he created a car.
Yeah.
He knew that what he was doing would mm-hmm. just completely wipe out the whole value system of and change things, flip things on their head. And one thing I do find when you start trying to create value, it sometimes, if not more often than not, shows up in places you least expected. We started Budo Brothers and ended up with a nonprofit, the Budo Youth Fund, right? Couldn't have planned that at the beginning.
No.
Not at the very beginning. And we started selling these products, but created a martial arts community. We did not know how people would perceive us in order to glean value. You can't force the result out of people, right?
That's true.
There's a martial artist called Dust. And like him or not, I believe he was trying to put out videos one way and saw that the internet viewed him a completely other way. And he doubled down.
Leaned into it.
And provided so much entertainment for people that he's on Snoop Dogg's talk shows. Mm-hmm. He's global.
Value.
Yes.
And getting back to what value is Dust providing? He's entertaining
people. Entertaining people,
yeah. And you're giving people something to talk about. And it's, he turned into like a character.
Yes.
He's hanging out with Snoop Dogg.
Like, yeah. And he gives you that, oh, did you see this guy? Like, you know, when you always want to show your friends, oh, look at this cool thing I found.
Mm-hmm.
Discovery, being able to discover things and share them, that is valuable to people as well too.
And when you look at content, we always have our three buckets of value when it comes to, can you create valuable content? Can you educate? That's a value bucket. That is valuable. Wow. Thank you for teaching me that. I am now wiser. That is valuable to me because that's going to come in handy down the road.
Yeah.
Can you entertain? Is this actually fun to watch? Am I lost in the moment because this is so, it's inspiring. It's entertaining. The last one is inspiring.
Yeah.
Can you inspire? If you can do all three of those, that is a valuable piece of content. Educate, entertain, inspire. If you get all three, to the moon.
And you know, when it comes to content, it's so hard to stick to your guns because you tend to want to be a algorithm whore where you're chasing the status, the likes, the numbers,
statistics,
doing all this crazy stuff to try to make your video perform the best by versus just like, yo, this video is sweet. People are going to like it.
It's focusing on your craft. Focus on your craft.
Focusing on the messaging, the content.
The lessons, the value.
The value, the educate, entertain, and inspire behind everything you do.
Serve the audience.
And if you lead with that, it doesn't matter the viewer count. Like, it will connect to the right people and provide them value in the right ways.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to propel you forward.
It is a recipe for success. Yes. If you can get good at creating value for other people, you will live a very fulfilling life.
One of the most challenging parts, and I noticed it in my journey too, especially when I was younger, is trying to give value, but expecting a result or a reward in return. Like, I'm going to give to this charity, but I want to get this many views off the video, or I'm going to do this for you, but you got to do this for me. Oh, they didn't do this.
Transactional.
Exactly. And
that's not service.
It's hard because I was very unconscious of it when I was doing it. And I probably still do it in some realms. But I do try to bring more awareness to the fact that, like, if you're going out and serving and giving, you can't have that with a price tag or an expectation.
The true definition of service is serving without expectation of anything in return. That, and how valuable is that? If you just lived your life helping other people, like, you are able to provide value. Valuable. It's almost like in the word. Valuable. Are you able to provide value?
So let's go to the deep question of that all. If you do not get anything in return, why do it?
It's fulfilling, man. It feels good.
So I guess in a way you do.
You're just,
yeah.
Yeah, I do. I don't know, man. And I feel like it's a hack. It's a life hack. Being a valuable human is a life hack.
Yeah.
It's a way to live a good life.
Yes.
You're valuable to other people.
It is. And you do, like, it's the fastest way to feel better. You know,
anytime you're in the dumps. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. We've tested it so many times. You get caught up in your own dilemmas. You get caught up in your own drama. You get caught up in the chaos called life. And one of the biggest hacks that we found is let's go create some value. Let's go serve someone. Let's launch something new. Let's go start a new project. Let's go get back to creation. Get back to service.
And the more sophisticated we get in business and, you know, team members and different things that we put in place, it's fun because the less we have to focus on always watching and counting the numbers, right? When you're doing that, everything, like you said, is so transactional. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't go do this because I'm not going to make my money back. Or is it worth it if we go shoot this person?
It's tough.
Is it? And you have no idea because you haven't lived the experience. And sometimes the most random things produce the largest results.
Without expectations. And I also feel like that's another hack. Like, I don't know. What are we going to do? Let's just go try some stuff. We don't have expectations. Let's go test some things. Let's go create value. Mm-hmm. And if that's our guiding light, we can't go wrong.
I think that is the truth. If you make creating value your guiding light, it will lead you in the right direction. And it will also tell you, too, if you do not have the right product, service, or thing you're trying to do, because if people are not finding it valuable and nobody's paying attention to it, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's you.
Toughest lesson to learn as an entrepreneur, because you've sunk your entire life. It's part of you. And it's something that you probably have poured money into. Maybe you've even leveraged your house.
Yeah.
And the market speaks. The market has a voice. People either see value in it or they don't. And if they don't, that's very hard as an entrepreneur to deal with, to face, to come to terms with. That's why it's so important to validate and micro progressions. Am I on the right track? Let's test this. Boom, bing, bing, got a green signal. Let's go further. All right, now, big stumble, back two steps. All right, now what? Okay, that didn't work. Here's a market. I didn't even think of that. Now all of a sudden you're iterating and you're validating as you go so that you don't end up. I've listened to so many folks talk about how just it'll be ready. Just wait till you see it. It's gonna once this is ready. Oh, just wait. You're gonna love it. And the problem is the entrepreneur forgot to talk to the customer.
Yeah.
You forgot to talk to the person that you're actually serving. You fell in love with your own idea to the point that there was no feedback loop to give you a course correction so that you can nail a bullseye winner.
When do you feel the most valuable?
When do I feel the most valuable? When I'm inspiring, I feel like I'm valuable when I can help inspire other people.
Nice.
And through Budo Brothers, if we can help inspire other people to try martial arts, I feel so valuable because I know what martial arts did for my life. And if we can make that available for other people to experience in their life, that for me is a mission worth pursuing.
Love that. Budo Brothers Challenge?
Look at ways that you can unlock value for other people. I want you to go through this 3-week challenge and I want you to get a journal and write down an idea every day for the next 3 weeks, 21 business ideas of how to create value for other people and something that you could, with minimal startup costs, start pursuing and testing and validating and getting traction to a potential new journey that could completely unlock your chains of the job that you hate. It could completely set you on fire. And this is the beauty of daydreaming and writing down your ideas and solving and trying to look for problems. Listen for the but. I love it. But what's the but? Tell me about the problem. Tell me why is this frustrating? Why is this pissing you off? The best problems are bleeding from the neck problems. Because guess what? You need a solution pronto. And so if you can focus on those high pressing, high priority problems that other people have, you have the option and the potential to create an incredible, fulfilling business that serves immense value in the market. And let me tell you, there is no better path to be on than the path of entrepreneurship.
That was good. We're going to leave it right there. Well, that was a fantastic podcast. Until next week.
See you then.